Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now back to 95.7 The Game.
And thank you for helping us save football. Whitey Gleason, Nash Solomon, Tommy Call. Apparently in the future there is no football. We got a time machine, so we got to send them a recording of a Super Bowl game so that in the future they'll see that and they'll realize, what's wrong with us? We got to bring back this game.
Can we tag our like radio show on at the end of it, too?
Well, I was just thinking, why don't
like
we just
send a recording of the show? And so the aliens are like, what's happening to us?
Or why don't we just film us watching our favorite Super Bowl? And they'll understand what America or maybe any other country in the world was like
when
football existed.
Yeah, football is such a wonderful game, but obviously it's under siege for many good reasons. I think one of the things about football that the NFL doesn't really want us to realize is football is just not for everybody. That is, not everybody should be playing football. I know you played as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
It is a very violent game. There's no way around that. No matter what you do with the rules, it's not for everybody, but it's a wonderful game. I know you played Pop Warner. Was there a moment? Yeah, seriously.
Ten passing touchdowns, six rushing.
I actually played all the way through high school. Are you getting to the question about the whole, it's not a safe game?
No. I wasn't going to go there. I was going to ask you, is there a moment that stands out from when you first played football? Because I remember playing Pop Warner, and I know nobody cares, but I'm just talking about football here, not me. And I remember the first time, you know, you run in practice, and you run this play and that play. And then in a game, I got the ball. I'm like, there's a hole there. You know,
it's
like,
unreal.
Oh, yeah. Mm. Yeah. And the thing I remember is it wasn't exactly where it was supposed to be. Of course not. Right. Because In practice, there's no defense. But then, oh, my goodness. And you run through. It's such a fun game.
Fun.
I talked to Eric Davis once years ago when we were first finding out about the concussions and the lawsuits. And he said, football's always going to be around because it's just fun.
I agree. But it's crazy because there's a lot of, I know back in my hometown of Santa Clarita down there in Southern California, there's not freshman programs at every high school anymore.
I know.
And parents are finally...
Yeah. Mine didn't have it in high school. Yeah.
Okay, so I think we're just starting to finally hit that generation. What, CT's been kind of on our forefront for maybe 4 or 5 years now.
Which is a good thing that we're more aware of all that. No question. I realize that.
So now the kids that are starting to become freshmen in high school, they were probably 9 or 10 when we first started discovering CTE. So I'm worried in maybe 8 or 9 more years, is football going to be... Are schools going to start joining forces together just to have a team? Which kind of scares me because football has been my whole life's... Tommy's the same way. It's been everything for us. And I'm a victim of having 6 concussions 6 years in a row.
Oh,
and
my goodness.
I will still defend football literally till the day I die if I ever one day have CTE.
Yeah. What were your Pop Warner stats again?
I had 10 touchdowns passing and I had 6 rushing. Might have been vice versa.
I think honestly the question of the day is, can we find someone on the text line, a caller, that had better Pop Warner stats than Nash?
The exact Stay same tuned. Thing.
It has to be your 6th grade season. I don't want your 4th grade, your 3rd grade.
6th grade is when you peaked? I mean, that's what it sounds like.
No, 6th grade was my most productive year. I had to play quarterback. Whitey, I wasn't a quarterback. My brother's the quarterback of the family.
Sure, sure.
But because...
We all know this story.
Reed's the QB?
Yeah, Reed's the QB of the family. If I had his size, I would have been the better quarterback. He was a bad decision maker. I'm an IQ guy.
Right.
So I wasn't a quarterback. Right. So they always threw me at quarterback whenever we needed one. We're going on tangents we shouldn't go on. But you know what? It's fine.
Damn it, why am I so smart?
You've been waiting for this moment your entire life. You go to sleep at night being like, man... What would happen if I was on the radio?
Yeah,
and they asked me about.
Tommy's
a liar,
though. This guy always talks about his tight end days.
Can you imagine? 6th grade Nash. He's like, "Damn, my intellect! It's more cursed than anything." And now I have to play quarterback because no one else is as smart as me.
Well, can I pose a question to you guys? I know we've talked about what the most iconic Super Bowl would be to tell the story of the NFL. What about just the most individual performance in Super Bowl history?
In the Super Bowl,
the best individual Super Bowl performance. I think I got one that's really, really, really. Under the radar, he didn't even win MVP that year.
Ooh.
So I'm going to let you guys go first. If you have one on your mind, I know I'm kind of throwing you a curveball.
The one that leaps to mind is John Riggins against the Dolphins because they just couldn't tackle the guy.
Yeah.
I mean, you're talking about power, football.
Fins up.
Tommy, you got one?
Yeah, so I mean, there's a few guys that pop up for sure. I would think, I'm trying to think of like, it's so easy to go recency bias with this type of thing. So I'm trying to think of like an older performance, but the first one that comes to mind is Nick Foles probably. Just to be the backup quarterback and to light it up in the Super Bowl. And I mean, the guy looked better than Tom Brady. He looked like the best quarterback in the world on that day. And some of the things they did, him catching the touchdown, like all of those things, the way it kind of added up, you know, to take out the, everybody kind of thought the Patriots were the superior team, I think. I think that was a pretty big...
That was probably you thought that.
That was the most confident the Patriots and their fans probably ever were.
Yeah,
going
and so for him
Bowl.
To kind of go and do that, I think that was really awesome. No doubt about it. I think, like I said earlier, Von Miller, his dominance, where he ruined the game. I mean, he blew up the game. He dominated, absolutely dominated Cam Newton, who I was looking forward to see what Cam Newton would do in the Super Bowl. And you had this guy, Von Miller, just destroying it. So those two pop up, but like recent, I'm gonna have to think of like a pass performance.
I'd also say Garrett Yeprimian, speaking of the Dolphins, his pass in Super Bowl VII, look it up if you don't remember, that was phenomenal. He was a kicker and he had
the kicker.
Oh my goodness, just he could spin.
I've watched some like documentaries of old Dolphins players, them talking about that play. It's pretty hilarious.
You played football, Tommy?
I did.
Yeah.
I did.
What was your? I'm sorry. I should have asked you sooner. How about your NFL comp?
My NFL comp? No, I was trying to think over there. I was like, I'm like an Andy Reid. Like, I want to show up in just the Hawaiian shirt, crush a burger after the game. You know, drop some plays, kind of laugh about
it
a little
bit. 40 pizzas in the last 30
exactly.
Days.
That's more of my comparison. I'm not, you know, I can't draw it up to an X's nose guys. I'm just looking for my just football guys out there. And Andy Reid is a person that I would
SF
love
State,
to meet.
Man.
I would love to meet someday.
SF State, and they don't have football anymore. And I went to SF State, and towards the end of the run there, they had three coaches. They had Vic Roan, who was the head coach, had been there forever, and I believe the other two were Andy Reid and Dirk Cutter.
What?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Yes,
that's crazy.
Our guy Brian's talked about that plenty of times.
Really?
Yeah, Dirk Cutter. Great offensive mind when he was there, right?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
I heard
amazing.
Their offense was booming.
Andy Reid to me is in that Mount Rushmore of sports people that I'd love to have a beer with. And I feel like Andy Reid could probably put down a couple of beers so we'd have an extra fun time kind of thing.
How big is the Super Bowl for him and his legacy?
A lot. I think, you know, obviously working this station here and talking about the 49ers so much, there's players that, you know, I've got to meet and being around this team that I'm rooting for, but there's no other guy that I'm rooting for bigger in this game probably than Andy Reid, just because I do think he is one of the best coaches in the NFL, and those guys that have I am a Dolphins fan, Dan Marino, always having the knock of they never won one. Like, that sucks. Andy Reid, for all matters, seems like a pretty good person, like just a funny guy. The stuff he says, quirky, I respect that. Like, I connect with that kind of don't take yourself too seriously type of attitude. And I think Andy Reid's kind of the peak of that when the NFL, where you get these guys with these like kind of cringeworthy egos. And Andy Reid's just the opposite of that. So for just a respect matter, and I think even if you're a 49er fan, you can probably go like, yeah, I understand where you're coming from with that. And so that's why I just think it's big. Like, you know, not necessarily saying I'm rooting for him, but an individual that you'd like to see success, it is Andy Reid. If it's not against the 49ers, hopefully soon in his career.
And he has the complete body of work to put him down as one of the...
He's got that body.
The body of work to be an all-time great NFL coach. Like, I'm not going down to maybe like top 10 best coaches ever. He's just missing the big one.
Yeah.
He's done everything else, and he's done it for so long. Mm. The longevity of it is just
and
phenomenal.
When he makes a mistake, when Andy Reid is... I think that's a thing if we're going to talk about like X factors of this game that sway in the 49ers' favor. Andy Reid, his ability to like handle pressure, clock management, all those things that kind of get magnified in a game like the Super Bowl, Andy Reid doesn't have the perfect track record.
He's the Gamote.
Yeah, exactly. So if if you are the 49ers, you're probably saying like, no, we can kind of maybe beat up on Andy Reid a little bit, put him in these sticky situations because he'll make the mistake for you kind of thing.
Yeah, we just want to get him in a clock management situation and we know he's going to do the wrong thing.
Andy Reid having to manage the clock, that's must watch football. Like, I'm getting in front of a TV to watch Andy Reid with 2 minutes left in a game.
Why does he not have one of those Sean McVay guys just doing that for him? Like, you know, Sean McVay has the coach that pulls him back, has a coach that does all the analytics for when it is smart to go on fourth down, when is it not to go on fourth
down.
Don't
some teams now, they have like a clock management guy up in the booth.
Maybe he does now.
Yeah, probably.
You know?
I hope so for the big game.
Chilton Autobody text line 95795. I love this from the 650. My first touchdown was a fumble recovery, made me fall in love with the sport.
See, then that's why we love football right there. I'm getting it again. I know I'm going on a tangent here. From the 925, Dibs. When did you start working Saturdays, Whitey? Whitey, Dibs.
Yes.
You guys go way back. You guys, you got the Rise guys. You guys,
right?
You guys
just saw them yesterday. Yeah,
exactly. It was a great moment seeing these guys reunite too.
That's another 707.
Every time I am on the airwaves here, I get at least one Dan Dibley text. Do we both have raspy voices?
I don't hear it. I'm obviously around Nash all the time. Shout out to our guy Diz, but I personally don't see it.
I think the bottom line here that you have to wrap yourself around this and acknowledge this and accept it, and I think it's a positive. Your comp isn't Taysom Hill, it's Dan Dibley.
And there it is. I mean, Dan Dibley, he got a bad knee right now, though. He's been going golfing with a bad knee. He was talking to me about it the other day.
Yeah.
I don't want bad knees. Why?
Yeah, but he's a gamer. He'll game his way right through
that. By the way, back to my question I posed, the most underrated Super Bowl performance, and you're going to call me a homer, the James White Super Bowl, I mean, 116 receiving yards. Yes. Why was he not the MVP of that Super Bowl?
Good question.
That individual performance in what I called was the most iconic game to some eyes, what the NFL was. That's mine right there.
Yeah. Tim Smith's name came up from the Redskins. Also, Steelers Harrison in the Super Bowl, the pick six. Yeah. Which, by the way, you hear about a zone blitz. That's all you need to know. That play, the Steelers against the Cardinals, and there's a blitz. And so Kurt Warner's on the 2-yard line, 1-yard line, and he sees where the blitz is coming. So he figures, well, that's where I will throw it. But Harrison, in a zone, slides into the vacated spot, picks it off, and runs it back the other way. That's how a zone blitz works.
A huge swing in the game, too. I mean, I think the Cardinals would have been up going into halftime.
It was going to be close at that time, right? It was like they were driving.
Unbelievable. Yeah.
Yeah, wow. It was almost like as iconic as the Fred Warner one against the Rams.
Fred Warner's my guy, Whitey.
Really?
Yeah, I was on the defensive player of the year for Fred Warner wagon very early on in the season.
Nice. Well done. That's Tommy Call, Nash Solomon. I'm Whitey Gleason. On the Saturday Spectacular, we have the Pro Bowl coming up tomorrow, and I know nobody cares. Maybe at some point we talk about the fact that we don't even need all-star games anymore, but that's neither here nor there. John Elway likes this about the Pro Bowl. He was asked about the Pro Bowl experimenting with an onside kick alternative. And the way this would work is if you score a touchdown, then you line up on offense on a 4th and 15. So rather than kick out, we just scored, we need the ball back. So you get a 4th and 15. And then if you pick up the first down,
the drive's alive.
Continues, the drive continues, thank you. And if not, the other team gets the ball. And Elway says, not many onside kicks were recovered this year, so we've got to try and do something where you have a chance to catch up. He noted that only 8 onside kicks were recovered during the 2019 season.
Wow.
And the changing the rules on the kickoffs make it harder and harder for trailing teams to come from behind in the fourth quarter. If we're not going to go back to the old kicking rules, which I doubt, I do agree with him that they have to try something. Because it takes a lot of drama out of the end of the game now. And, here comes an onside kick, and they're not going to get it.
Yeah, no, I think that's fantastic. I think we knock things like the Pro Bowl and All-Star games, but if they're going to do stuff like this, if they're going to experiment, that brings a whole new level of interest to it specifically and the benefit of it possibly changing the game at this level. Because let's be honest, like onside kicks – we're all football fans. Our favorite team's onside kick throughout the season. How often do you really go, we're going to get it back here?
Well, speaking of Super Bowls, how about the Saints onside kick to start the second half against the Colts?
Awesome. Well, think of how ironic that is. There was 8 recovered onside kicks this year. 2 of those came in one game, the Falcons on Thanksgiving night. And it probably would have been 3, but one of them didn't count because of offsides or something of that nature. I think it's good that we use the Pro Bowl for this because there's no developmental league in the NFL. There's no G League. In the NBA, we have the challenge rule. That derived from them experimenting with it last year in the G League. And we had the AAF for a little bit. And I know Tommy during the break mentioned this new rule they're talking about.
It was 4th and 17, I think.
That comes from the AAF. So, I mean, maybe the XFL can be some sort of a feeder league to experiment.
Right.
But the NFL needs an experimental league so we can try different rules like this. There's a lot of flawed rules in football.
Yeah. By the way, you mentioned the NBA challenge. Did you see what happened to D'Lo last night? He had 37. Okay, so he'd like to get 40. 123 to go. He throws up a 3. He gets fouled, so he's going to line. If he makes all 3 free throws, he's got 40.
Yep.
The Pacers challenge, and they win the challenge. No foul.
And they're at 7 with like a minute 30 left? There was a point he got kind of close, but it's like.
Yeah, that Jordan Poole 3, right? They cut it to like 7, I think.
Yeah, Jordan Poole, he's looking confident again, Whitey.
Yes, he had the last 2 games before last night. His shot looked a little broken again, but last night he had a decent shooting.
He takes those shots that he wishes he was capable of making, but he's not quite there yet. He might never be there.
Yeah.
But it's honestly a sad tale of them trying to get him rolling now. I mean, send him to Santa Cruz. Let the kid get right.
Bring up Smiley Geach. We need more Smiley Geach.
Oh, he's coming. He's coming.
I know. As far as the football rules go, are there any other rules that you would tinker with that you'd like to see added, changed?
Ooh.
I think I'm just crossing my fingers here that we get through the Super Bowl without a catastrophic PI review that alters the outcome.
Yeah, this is the first year we've had
this,
that, right?
I think they're gonna do away with the PI review. I hope.
Okay.
Yeah. So I don't think that's worth
it. I don't know if I'm a fan of it.
One thing I would love to see, and I've talked, I think Nash and I have spoke about this before. It's the transparency of a lot of these calls. Like, why aren't these guys, like the refs or things like that, why aren't they mic'd up? Like, the decision just gets made and we don't understand why. Like, we don't understand what they're seeing in those situations. So the AAF...
But that's a great idea.
Yeah, the AAF, they did the thing where they showed the guys in the booth talking. They watched them replaying it and they, you know, explained why those the decision was made.
So, for example, in the NBA, when they go to Secaucus and you see them sitting there, you like that?
I do. Okay. I do like that.
Even though we don't really know what they're saying.
No,
cool,
but didn't the AAF...
It's stock footage. There's nobody there.
The AAF was actually mic'd up, and that was just their kind of stunt to maybe
But it was... If you're going to take away something from the AAF, I think that was the biggest thing where it's like, there's no reason to not have that type of transparency in a billion-dollar industry like the NFL.
Well, the NFL is obviously covering certain things up.
Yeah, it's just...
By the way, the best thing to come out of the AAF was Daniel Brunskill, but go ahead. Oh. I digress.
Oh, I thought I was going to say my guy who... never mind, I can't think of his name right now. Mm. Our producer Sam was also mentioning in the World Cup they do this. The officials up in the booth, apparently, they're mic'd up, cameras are on them. It allows you for no room for error or false error. It doesn't allow the refs to maybe
And there's
listen.
Just so many times you're like, what are they thinking? Like, what did they see we didn't? And maybe there is something.
And
you know?
The Gene Steratore's of the world, even when they disagree, then there's no point of having on the broadcast. You can't explain that.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
It's just kind of interesting, though, that there's the ability to challenge a pass interference because in real time they don't see it. And then in the review, are they really going to burn their guy?
Games aren't played in slow motion, right? Games aren't played in this replay style system.
And are they going to burn their own guy? Like, yeah, you got that call wrong. Like, I would love to know the conversion rate or the succession rate on PI's challenge in football this year. I assume it wasn't very high.
Well, it was apparent that for the most part, the NFL wanted coaches to know, don't challenge it because you ain't going to win. But then every so often, someone would win this bizarre challenge.
I know you guys were both watching late in the season, Jets-Dolphins. That game, big game. It was decided.
I have that recorded. I haven't watched it yet, well, but I'll get
just
to it.
Spoiler alert.
Game pass.
It was actually decided by a pass interference challenge. It was the Jets were driving and able to set up a last-second field goal where they threw a pass and it was blocked and it was fourth down. And then sure enough, the coach challenged it, or it was under 2 minutes, so the league challenged it and they overturned it, assessed the penalty. The Jets were able to move on and kick the field goal.
So the fix was in for your Dolphins to draft higher.
Yeah.
Can't be mad about that.
Who's your quarterback next year, by the way?
I'm hoping it's Tua. Okay. I'm praying it's Tua.
Tommy's a big draft guy.
Yeah. I've been on Tua. I have a Tua shirt already.
Nash explained why he's a Patriots fan. How did you become a Dolphins fan?
So my dad's from Florida.
Okay.
So just grew up, you know, having the Sunday ticket at the house. All I really knew was Dolphins football, you know, and things like that. And then growing up now, kind of having everybody crush me for being a Dolphins fan has made me lean into it a little more.
So like when and I compare Jimmy G last week to Bob Greasy, that resonates with
you? Not necessarily the game manager, but the guy to do the right thing, right?
The guy who didn't have to do anything because he handed it off to great backs.
Yeah, was that they had a Jim Kick and Larry Zonka and stuff like that.
Mercury Morris, my friend.
Yeah, wow, so...
And that's not a knock on any of the quarterbacks. Mm. Is why should I throw it when we're running it down their throats?
Yeah.
By the way, Sam, our producer, got in my ear and said the last time with the PIs when they reviewed what the succession rate was up in week 12. Up to that point through 12 weeks, only 19% of calls were changed or overruled.
Right. So I think the NFL is pretty clear. Look, we want to make it look like we care about what happened in New Orleans. No, seriously. So I have this review for 1 year, and I think they're going to do away with it, and I hope they do away with it.
It's like, what the hell's a catch?
Yeah.
Like, every year that changes.
Do we have that straightened out yet?
Like, it used to be more complex. Now it's easier to have a catch.
Yeah.
And I'm not really sure. I watched it in real time. Like, as somebody that watches football, I can see how that's a catch.
How about the rules as they relate to what Mike Florio said about the 49ers and Patrick Mahomes? They should send a message. I want to be careful. I'm not suggesting that they try to knock him out of the game. But at a certain point, you trade the risk of 15 yards. If you can send a message when the championship's riding on it, I think it's a different analysis.
I think he's going a little too far. I mean, let's be real. I hate to come out and sound not sincere on the airwaves, but and he's not completely wrong. When you play football, like if you're a defensive end, why do your coaches tell you, get after that quarterback, do what you got to do to take him out of a game?
Yeah.
That's the wrong way about it. I do think a rule that needs to change, I think we're too sensitive on quarterbacks. I think games, the whole script of the game can change. Like game-winning drives will occur because maybe Aaron Rodgers, a late hit on him, and boom, there he goes. Now Aaron Rodgers has on his resume a game-winning drive. We got to stop being so.
So we need to back off.
Yeah,
that.
I don't think that'll ever change. I almost think it'll be tighter.
And, right.
Because
you're
right. They don't want these guys. They don't want the stars. You know, they don't want
looking askance at the quarterback 15 yards.
Yeah, they don't want Nick Mullins versus Matt Moore in the Super Bowl. They want Pat Mahomes and Jimmy Garoppolo.
TV product at the end of the day.
You know, it's a moneymaker, having those star quarterbacks.
The problem with what Florio said, I think, twofold. One, as you pointed out, Nash, it's like. Defensive players don't need – they're already doing that. If you get a shot at a quarterback, you're going to take a clean shot. Two, he says, even if he's going into a slide, that's just foolish because didn't the 49ers get a player kicked out of the opening game because he went after Jameis?
Mm.
Remember, Jameis was going into a slide?
Oh, that was Quan, right? Was it Quan?
Yeah, it was Quan Alexander.
Exactly.
Yeah,
In the first game of the year, he got thrown out.
It was like right before the first half, too. It's still in the first half.
See, those are the type of ones I agree with. Like, he's already given up his body. He's going to the ground. And Quan comes diving in with the spear of his head. Like,
right. And some people argued, oh, he shouldn't have been thrown out. But that's not the point. The point is, you can be under today's rules. So why in the world in the Super Bowl would you take that chance?
I agree.
It seems like it's so evident to me, the biggest issue that would solve a lot of this conversation. It's just like, pay these guys full time. Like, have them working all year. Have a chance, like, have a universal rules of what these guys should follow. I think is what really should come down to this and a lot of different factors. And it's like having these guys who are, you know, car salesmen by day, NFL referee on Monday Night Football at nighttime just shouldn't work. It doesn't work.
I'm in favor, are you guys, of the Mike Pereira plan whereby you've got people in a room somewhere who can just do whatever it takes to help the crew on the field get the game right. Mm. Kind of an eye in the sky thing.
I agree.
Oh, that's a great idea.
Yeah.
Because when you're in the game, you almost feel the emotion and impact, and you feel the aura in the stadium. Mm. You're probably not in the complete best thinking space at all moments.
So if you've got your crew wherever they are, and they can see that, wow, those guys missed that, they can buzz them right away and go, hey, guys, you got that wrong.
But is this how much is it going to slow down the game? I mean, are we going to be about to snap the ball, and then they're waving their hands? We go back to the review, and that it's a TV product that hurts the product. Then it goes back to, like, look, it's like the thing in basketball. I forgot. It was one of the Warrior games. When somebody gets blocked, of course the ball's going to roll off your hand. And in slow motion, it'll look like it's off the shooter. But in reality, the ball's being pushed that way because of the defender. Like, when you look so close into slow motion things, the eye's going to see what the eye's going
to
see.
A good point. I think I would love to see them do it at least short term. Experiment with it for 1 year like they have with the PI review. Yeah, it might slow down the game some, but there have been so many just mind-numbingly bad calls of late in the NFL that I think it's worth trying that out and seeing if that helps.
Yeah,
I agree. I mean, it's like this year. We did the trial and error with the challenging pass interference.
Mm. How about the newer rules? They're not brand new, but the newer rules on the point after touchdown. You okay with that? If you go for the single extra point, you got to kick it from further back.
I think it's double. I think it's we like simple. Like just keep it
too
how
much
it is.
For you?
Yeah.
Sorry, explain that again. Are you talking about with the rule they've already made by
the PFT? Yeah, the current rule that they've had for a few years. If you want to go for one, you got to back it up.
I like that because look, it's changed games. Mm. I mean, the Patriots.
I think it's worked.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Like, the Patriots missed probably 9 PATs this year. It's probably an NFL high. I know other teams have missed PATs. It allows for the game not to result in what? A tie and maybe overtime or force games to go into OT. Like, PATs are being missed at the highest rate it ever has been.
And I think that's exactly what they were hoping.
I think what I've gotten here is I got a little overstepped there where I really like the longer field goal. I think that's been perfect. Like, I think you need to have a little pressure under things, and it's changed games and things. What I'm basically saying is that what I've learned so much about Pro Bowl weekend so far is I personally love the dodgeball and I love the skill competition. I could watch that all day.
That should be the Pro Bowl.
Yeah.
These guys competing in other sports.
I thought they had the wide receivers doing the throwing competitions. You guys see, like, the little targets they had, like, all moving up and down the field. I remember I used to, like, growing up, would watch that with my dad, and it was one of our favorite things. And I was texting him over the weekend when they were showing those, like, you know, the moving targets. You have Lamar and Kirk Cousins is the ones I saw. And then they had, like, Devontae Adams and Jarvis Landry doing them.
Full
and they just had, like, these little small, like, other competitions. Like, I think that is more entertaining than anything that can happen in the
game. I love the drone drop. 888-957-9570. I'm sorry, what is the name of this caller? I want to make sure that I get the name right. I don't recognize that as a name. I'm sorry? Vess?
Okay. I believe it's Vess.
All right, Vess, thanks for calling. You're on 95.7 The Game. What's going on in San Mateo?
No, it's Chef. Like, Chef, I cook food.
Oh, okay. Chef.
Chef. That's my boy.
Chef, we talked to you. Yeah.
Sorry about that. Sorry about that.
Chef.
I just wanted to weigh in on this whole, like, having other people review the calls in the middle of the game. The NHL already does this. They do it in, they have a war room. They have, like, seasoned referees watching every play of every game, and they buzz referees, and they make these calls, like, outside of the physical location of the game. And I don't know why the NFL can't adopt a system very similar to that to get their calls right. Like they got these dudes, right? Like Mike Pereira and these dudes that you don't really ever hear about, but they're watching every game. So, you know, it's one of those things where other sports are already doing it well. Like you guys made an analogy to FIFA or whatever. But, you know, like these things already exist. Just take the existing thing and model it into what it needs to be for the NFL to get right. I'll take your comments off the air.
No, Chef, you still there? Did he hang up?
Yeah.
So, Chef, we talked a week ago. I wanted to ask you what the strategy was for the Super Bowl snacks. Have you had some time to think? Like, what's on the menu? Do you have your menu set yet?
Man, I'm struggling, like, sous vide chicken wings. Like, you know what I mean? Like, cook them in the water bath. You put them in the fryer. It's a happy time. You know, you put some French fries in there just for you know? I'm a wings and fries kind of guy. Like, you know what I mean?
You can't mess that up.
Wall sitting on my couch in a hoodie.
Yeah.
Like,
thanks, Tess. Thanks for the call.
Thank
brother.
You, Chef. We appreciate that. Yeah.
I'm reading it wrong on the screen.
If you don't have buffalo on your Super Bowl menu, where there's really?
Yeah.
Like, you don't have like a buffalo sauce. Anything. Get out of here.
We'll tease this.
I don't
want
to come to your Super Bowl
party.
Tommy
has an iconic buffalo dish. We'll tell on the other side, but I'll let you do your formal tease.
In honor of Marv Levy, I never have anything buffalo on Super Bowl Sunday because he's a great guy. All right. Thess, I thought it was like Daniel Tice of the Celtics we were talking to. Yeah, it's the Saturday Spectacular coming up. Can Zion save the NBA? It's next on 95.7 The Game.
The other team's quarterback must go down, and he must go down hard.
Now back to 95.7 The Game.
Super Bowl is what? Are we 8 days away now from the
eight
Chiefs
days.
And the 49ers?
Do you have it to the hour?
I don't. You probably, do you?
No.
Oh, I thought you would have.
7 days and 26 hours? It's at 3:30, right? So we're 7 days and 26. So a little 8 hours and 8 days and 2 hours?
I don't know.
Sounds Whitey like Gleason, Ash Solomon, Tommy Call. I know some say, oh, you got to move the Super Bowl to Saturday. I like it on the Sunday. I like the build up the whole weekend long. Mm.
That's weird to me.
Yeah?
I don't know. The post Super Bowl Sunday scaries, though, are one of the worst because it feels like a holiday and you're with all your friends and you just got some drinks in your belly. And then you look around like, I got to go to work tomorrow. I got to go to school tomorrow. That's
me and Tommy
fun.
Are big Sunday scary guys. You ever get that, Whitey?
It's like sure.
It's like a micro-depression on a Sunday night. Like,
well, especially if you work like early in mornings. I mean, Sunday night is, you get those Sunday scaries. You've got to get really early.
I think like the Super Bowl is like that all-time moment. That's
you
like
know why I think the Sunday scaries will be less intense this year after the Super Bowl? Usually it's like, oh, there's no more football now for a long time. Hey, we got the XFL.
Oh,
that's rough.
I can't
who's your team you're checking in with?
Well, I really think that it's interesting that the Seattle Dragons are leading the league in ticket sales already.
With seven and
one? This is the XFL!
Whitey, I love the fact that you said that because one thing you may not know about me is I'm actually a diehard Seattle Dragons fan. Your darkest nightmare on the football field.
I myself am checking in as a Los Angeles Wildcat fan.
Okay.
For obvious reasons, my home team down there. For the first time in my life, for the first time in my lifetime, a team will start in LA for the football world. Because obviously Raiders, Rams, they weren't there when I was there. This is the first time I can really, really claim a team.
What is the only city in the United States to claim an NBA and an XFL championship in the same year?
I wish my XFL history was up to date.
Los Angeles, California.
Woo! We did used to have, actually, I take that back. We did have another LA football team. We had the LA Kiss and the LA Avengers Went to a bunch of arena football games. I never went to an LA Kiss game, but
Did you get to go to a San Francisco Demon game when they were out here?
I did not.
I went to actually a couple of them. My family member of mine
had... What was that, AT&T, right?
Was that AT&T?
Or Pac Bell,
yeah,
maybe
so
it was
a family member of mine had season tickets to the Giants and was able to purchase season tickets to the Demons for, I think, really cheap, if not part of the plan or something like that. And he didn't want to go, so I went. My dad would take me, and I had the jersey, I had the full thing. I was super into it.
Why do you?
But, I mean, I was a youngster.
Play by play for a form of professional football.
Coase was play by play. I was the analyst for the UFL Sacramento Mountain Lions. Dante Culpepper back to throw, incomplete.
No way, Culpepper.
Coach Danny Green.
Wow.
What? Why Mountain Lions? That just doesn't dawn on me.
It's a good question.
Sacramento.
You have a lot of Cougars up there in the area.
Okay.
Yeah, in Sacramento proper, per se. But there were only five teams in the whole league, I think.
And the SFL is what? Is there eight teams?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
I only got the Guardians.
St. Louis Battle Hawks.
Yeah, the Battle Hawks.
It seems like they had all this time. Hey, tomorrow is the day we're going to announce the new logos and team names. It's like, oh.
Their descriptions,
been working on that
their descriptions were hilarious. Steven and I were playing their videos, and because they had these, like, that's why I'm a Dragons fan. And they said it's like your darkest fantasy on turf or something like that. It was their description.
That's weird.
And I love that.
Yeah. By the way, my favorite Super Bowl basketball story is when they had the Super Bowl in Houston. Legend has it, which I think was the Patriots and the Panthers. Anyway, Stevie Francis on the Houston Rockets apparently went to Van Gundy and said, hey, I know we have a game, but can I go to the Super Bowl instead?
What?
He wanted to skip the Rockets game so he could go to the Super Bowl, if I remember the story correctly.
Coach
Van Gundy did not allow it.
I vividly remember when the Super Bowl was here, and that was the Warriors' rise, and they played the Oklahoma City Thunder on Saturday. Do you remember that? And that game alone was like almost getting Super Bowl buzz because it was like KD and Russ, I think, versus like Steph and Clay. And
sure.
they were both like the 1-2 teams in the Western Conference at the time. And it was like at that game was like a who's who of, you had like Mark Wahlberg, Justin Timberlake, like all these people sitting courtside for that game. It was like something that happens at like the Staples Center. I just remember being so fired up for that weekend of sports, so excited because it was Super Bowl in the Bay Area on Sunday. But before that, you had maybe even a better game, probably ended up being a better game, was the Thunder versus the Warriors.
Yeah, last night at the Warrior game, they just at one point put something on the scoreboard about, you know, go 49ers, and everyone got excited. And I thought, oh, there's somebody here, a player here. And there wasn't, but everyone just got so excited, and a few people had their jerseys on.
There was a Jimmy G jersey courtside. I saw that on the TV.
Yeah. I'm hearing great things about Tommy's Super Bowl recipes?
Yes, he did tease that.
Oh, yeah.
It got brought up because our chef, he talked about his special wings. Then Tommy said,
so chef
I
calls
need
in, I always ask him for a recipe or for a recommendation or something because I myself like to cook. And he was saying his specialty is wings.
Chef or Thess?
Chef. I'm gonna defend my guy, Chef.
So Tommy also mentioned he loves buffalo, right? He's a big buffalo guy.
Buffalo wing, buffalo sauce. Because I don't think Whitey said it. I thought he just said buffalo style stuff.
Well, yeah, you said you weren't a fan of buffalo, but I think you thought we meant the meat, right?
I thought you actually were talking about buffalo meat.
So yeah. Buffalo sauce. Tommy has taken me up to the 707 a couple times, say it backwards, 707, and he showed me some of his famous dishes, and one of them I'm hoping he brings because we're doing the post-game show of the Super Bowl, so we'll be on probably 10 p.m. We're going to watch the Super Bowl here probably. I'm hoping he brings this dish for us. Tommy, please, for all the Super Bowl party listeners.
I do a buffalo chicken dip. Weirdly enough.
Wow.
Yeah, it's like shredded chicken. Essentially, you shred it really down, and then it has, you put cream cheese, ranch, the buffalo chicken, a lot of buffalo sauce, cheese, and then you bake it in the oven.
Sounds like it's good tasting and good for you.
And you just dip it, and everybody really likes it.
I'm not
a
ranch guy.
It's very easy to make.
I'm not a ranch guy. I don't even taste it.
Yeah, it's just a very small bit of ranch. Yeah, it
not
sounds kind of weird. It looks, people are kind of like, what is that?
Uh-huh.
But it's been a
what's
success.
It called? It's just called
buffalo chicken dip.
Buffalo chicken
dip. I call it the T-dip.
Tommy calls buffalo chicken dip. I'm Whitey Gleason. Nash Solomon, you're not a ranch guy. Are you a Zion Williamson guy?
Well, I have a few takes in this. And to channel my inner Tommy call, I've been sitting on these takes for a while.
Can Zion save the NBA? Did you hear the numbers, by the way, that co-cited today?
No,
that for the
I would
Thursday
love you.
Night TNT package, they've been drawing fewer than a million people for those telecasts.
Right.
And for his debut on ESPN Wednesday, I believe, they more than doubled that.
Wow.
Wow. Can Zion save the NBA? Maybe TV rating? Sure. Maybe for now. But my thing with Zion is I'm going to sound ridiculous saying this, but it's kind of been my opinion I've had on Zion for a while. I think at some point his game does get limited. I think he's fantastic in the transition game. I think he's fantastic in the pick and roll. I think if you want to bring out the most out of Zion, it has to be him playing the small ball five. Hmm. Now, that's up to, obviously, the Pelicans to figure out how they make that work. But for me, it's always been, I just was a Ja Morant guy over Zion just because I feel like
he's going to win the rookie of the year.
And he can bring more to the table in terms of, like, my thought process, we talked about this before the show. I think when you're drafting one or two, you always got to be conscious. Can this guy be, it doesn't have to be the best player on your team. It doesn't have to be a superstar. Can the guy I'm drafting be my top two player on a championship caliber team? And my answer right now, quickly, I don't necessarily know if Zion can be that. If he shoots 4 for 4 or makes 4 threes a
that
game.
That was amazing. That, the Spurs were giving like, go ahead,
maker.
Bro. Oh, he made it again.
Like, Zion bullied guys in college. I haven't necessarily seen him bully guys in his two small sample size games yet.
I did see him do that once against the Spurs where he missed a shot from point blank and he went and just grabbed it and scored.
The pogo,
which he used to do in college, and I didn't think he could do that at all in the NBA.
The pogo stick bounce will work in the putback stuff, but in terms of he would bully the ball, he'd get the ball in the ISO and just back all the way down to the rim. Like, that's not happening in the NBA, and especially if you play small ball five, he's going to have guys like Rudy Gobert and other guys defending him.
I heard a perfect breakdown, and I'm going to steal this from somebody, of those Zion three-pointers, and I'd love to share it with you guys. It was basically what they were saying was, it was like a kind of chubbier, maybe goofier looking dude coming in to play rec basketball with you at the pickup league, and he gets an open three-pointer, and you're like, all right, man, yeah, like, shoot it. I'm not going to guard you
it's
until
like the
you
linebacker.
Make it. Yeah, and he shoots a three and makes it, and then the next time up around, you're like, yeah, there's no way he's going to make two in a row, and then he shoots it and makes it, but still, just looking at him and their body or whoever, and you go, yeah, just keep shooting it until you make it, and Zion, because the defense was ridiculous on those threes. They literally did not step to him.
Right.
It was so wide open.
It was obvious so that was their plan. It's like, if he's going to shoot a three, go
and
ahead and let
four
him.
Straight times in a row and carried them back into the game.
Whitey, if I can ask you, do you see Zion down the road being the superstar that he might be where he is, a top 4 or 5 player in the game? Like, we want to put him in the LeBron conversation.
Yeah, maybe because he's such a unique blend of talents, and I worry about his size just because you'd hate to see him be disabled because he's putting so much stress on those lower extremities, which already are under so much stress because he's so freaking powerful.
Needs to lose weight.
Yeah.
Needs to lose weight. I think the thing about Zion is everyone thinks he's closer to LeBron, but he's probably closer to Julius Randle in terms of how they like play as a player. LeBron can be the play initiator. He can play point forward.
Yeah, that's not a good comp. That's not fair to LeBron. That's,
no.
And it's not fair to Zion either.
No, and you're not getting that. The thing where Zion's really going to flourish, and people bash on this guy a lot, is Lonzo Ball. That is a perfect marriage. They both love to run down the floor. Zion will pass the ball. Sorry, not Zion. Lonzo will pass the ball on a rope to Zion at any given moment. And think of how high Zion's getting off the ground, weighing what he weighs. If he loses 15 more pounds, you're talking about now he's going to be more like Lamar Odom than Julius Randle.
Yeah, I think it's going to be interesting to see how Brandon Ingram is able to adjust to Zion's presence, and they should be able to work that out. You mentioned LeBron. I'm so excited about tonight because LeBron could do something that I've been waiting for him to do for a long time. He could surpass, what's his name, that Laker guy.
Kobe Bean Bryant?
That's the guy on the all-time scoring list.
Kobe!
In Kobe's hometown.
What is it down to, 16?
16 or 17,
I think.
It's
16 or 17 points.
Yeah.
In Kobe. That's great. LeBron, listen, one of the greatest to ever do it. He's going to surpass Kobe tonight, and we're still sitting here, not us in specific, but all the Zion conversation to kind of tie this all together is that's who this guy's being compared to. Maybe temper expectations a little bit, and we'll find out who Zion is. But, Tom, if I asked you right now, like, is Zion going to be the best player on a team that can play very deep in the playoffs? At his peak, would you say yes or no?
Yeah, I think there's still a lot to learn. I think there's still a ton of it. I mean, this is a kid. At the end of the day, we have to have some perspective. Like, we're breaking down his first game.
I agree.
Ever.
I think he still has a really high ceiling.
And I think, why not? Zion has got to be, in my opinion, I'm not that much of a Duke fan, one of the most likable guys from the University of Duke. It just seems like he's kind of a cool dude. He brings so much excitement, and the NBA needs that. So, yeah, I'm rooting for him because I want to see it. So that might come from, like, the fan side in me, but that's what this – That's what it is. That's what we're talking about here. We want to see this guy perform at the highest level in those grand stage. I don't think he's even gotten close to what he could be as a refined NBA player. I don't know what that is. I don't know what that could be, because there isn't a comparison. There isn't a body style. There isn't a way he brings plays up and down the court just an easy comp to that. So I think Zion's in alone, but there's so many ways to kind of knock him down, because we can easily see kind of those leaves to pull off with him. It is the weight. It is the size. Things like that. The injuries. There's all these, his jump shot, right? So as long as he can kind of take that and not let it get to him, because it looks like whenever this guy takes the court, whenever he's on TV, people are going to be talking about him.
Yeah, the raw power. The first thing I thought of when I first saw him and how powerful he was is I thought of Sean Kemp, and I think he's probably going to have more skills. And it's just it's a little alarming, though, as an NBA fan, how starved the NBA is for this. The NBA has been on a roll the last few years, and this year, all of a sudden, it's like, oh, my goodness, what's happening?
It seems like it's so out of nowhere. And what's with the Warriors' schedule? They say 3 days off?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, they play again Tuesday against
Philly.
The Sixers.
And a five-game roadie,
they've been playing,
I believe,
every other day for, it seems like, a month.
Yeah, and I was looking at the schedule, and I do a lot of Warriors work, too, and I was just like, man, I'm having a nice little couple days off here.
Can I ask you guys an NBA all-time question here?
Go ahead.
Okay, we talked about LeBron zeroing in on third place all-time on the scoring list. So if Kobe right now is 33-643, LeBron is at some point, maybe tonight, going to pass him. Kareem's at number one all-time, 38-387. That LeBron could catch him. If LeBron becomes at some point...
How many points is it total?
We're talking like five, yeah. If he becomes, LeBron becomes the all-time leading scorer in NBA history on top of everything else... Does that end the debate about who's the greatest player of all time?
Ooh.
Probably, but you're still going to have the naysayers because LeBron's obviously lost in the finals.
It depends the championships that come with that. If he can take down a couple more, I'm saying a couple, not just one,
then
you probably get closer to that. Because I think this is a debate that's one of those things that is almost unwinnable, essentially, because we've talked about it for so long that just people have made their decision.
Well, I think you used the term earlier, recency bias, talking about the 49ers. And there was, for years, there was so much Michael Jordan recency bias. And people who saw him were, and for good reason, were just amazed. And it's interesting to me that that's faded a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, I think that just LeBron, too, that the way he's been able to do it, and now he has the Laker fandom behind him, which is a very loud population of the NBA world. But also this year, and it, in my opinion, I thought you were originally going to ask, like, do you think he can get there? Well, what he's done this year... What he's turned into, it almost seems like it's a lock.
I'd be more surprised if he didn't.
Yeah, yeah. So that's why it's no doubter. And it's just, for a guy like that, I think later in his career, you start to get the respect maybe you don't get as being like the number one guy. If you can continue this legacy, that I think even his loudest haters will have to be like, wow, okay.
And if he waits for, obviously, Bronny to make the league, which is his dream, he's for sure going to pass Kareem. But if LeBron wins... In L.A., which I don't know how likely that is, if he can find a way to get a championship there, the first player ever to carry three different franchises to the promised land, then of course he's going to be that guy.
Yeah, and he's already surpassed Kobe in terms of being a great Laker, right?
Honestly,
Joe is so mad.
So, full disclosure,
I'm just asking the question.
What else going on, man?
I'm obviously from LA area, so I obviously my Twitter, my text, all my world revolves around Lakers and Clippers stuff. And the perception of LeBron is very bad in LA. Like, everybody misses Kobe because Kobe was able to take over games and be the guy that scores. But that's not necessarily LeBron, but he'll kind of carry to everything else. But
Joe looks like he literally wants to run through the glass right now.
I love LeBron. LeBron's my favorite player ever. Maybe that's why I'm so critical of Zion, because he draws the LeBron comparisons. And I know people in the text are saying, well, Zion's played two games. You guys don't know anything.
Exactly. You have to have perspective with a guy like Zion.
True, but I'm also kind of building my working knowledge off what I've seen him do in college and what we saw him do there and trying to speculate if that works in the NBA. I think Zion's a very fascinating prospect. Now, I don't know if he's quite as fascinating as other guys like maybe Trae Young or John Morant or Luka Doncic. If I can already name three guys ahead of him, then that just goes to show maybe we should slow down a little bit on this hype train.
Well, by the way, people on the text line, they're not saying that you guys don't know what you're talking about. They're saying you don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, you.
Tommy and I are pro-Zion.
They probably
Nash
do say that.
Solomon is basically what they're saying.
It's actually at Nash the Crash 2 E's. Yeah. Tommy's been working on his Twitter handle, Whitey, because he always plugs Twitter, but he doesn't plug his handle.
Okay.
And he wouldn't be doing his due diligence if he didn't plug his handle to get, some good followers.
Right.
I don't care about
that. But no, I figured it out. He texted in the group chat the other day. He's trying to change his handle because it's too confusing to say on air.
It is.
Tommy_III. because he's the third. He's Thomas Call the
third.
Yeah,
do you have
that's not a great handle.
Can I just a quick story?
Yeah.
Can I get, just while we're on this subject.
Spadoni, do we have time for a quick story from Tommy?
Yeah. All right. So in our world, and you know, to be professional, I'm trying to make it in this industry. Twitter is part of that. You have to kind of be involved. You have to have a social media presence. So I've been toying back with this idea of changing my Twitter name, which is Tommy_III, what it's been. But I want to change it so it sounds easier to read on air. So I was going to do call Tommy 3. Somebody has that Twitter handle. So I just shot a message, said, hey, man, I would love to. They have like 15 followers, not hasn't logged on to Twitter since like 2015. So I just months go by. Don't think anything of it.
What exactly did you ask?
I just said, I would love to get your Twitter handle. If you don't use it, please let me know or whatever. Just shooting my shot. Months went by. The guy randomly emailed me and he said, hey, I would like to, what do you have in mind? I said, you know, I don't really know. Don't make a ton of money. It's not like I'm going to pay money for a Twitter handle. And he goes, I would like $100. And in my head, I'm just kind of like laughing because I'm like, no way I'm going to ever pay someone $100 for a social media name. But I'm also kind of like, why? Where did he get that from? And it's kind of weird this guy's emailing me right now. I'm thinking like, am I getting hacked? Am I getting trolled? And so I go, well, how do I know you have proof of it? Because he emailed me, didn't respond to me on Twitter. And he goes, really? You need proof? Well, the fact that you think I'm lying, I would now like $200. That's what the guy said to me over email. And so I just didn't respond to him. And so he started tweeting at me. This guy did. And kind of didn't leave me alone and started emailing me. And he goes, you really don't have anything to say for yourself?
Whitey, at least he's replying though, right?
That's what he said to me.
I tried getting the handle at Nasher, and the guy doesn't go on Twitter at all. And the second I tried DMing him, he blocked me. What do you have? Do you have at Whitey?
At Whitey Gleason.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow, legendary.
Why can't you guys just find a free one that no one has?
Yeah, that was mine. That was the Tommy_II, but yeah. I didn't want to get it to. I think it sounds kind of weird to say out loud. People are always like, what is it? And I'll have to type it in for them.
So do you have a Twitter stalker? Is that what we're talking about?
No, it's just, and he's finally got the. And I wanted to like email him back, like, hey, man, listen, like how generous you've been and how nice you've been about your free Twitter handle that you don't use. I'd now like to offer you $500 just because you seem like such a kind and giving person. Like, come on, man.
Yeah, that's nice. On the Chilton Autobody text line here, we have some Zion thoughts here. What about Dwan Blair comparison for body style?
Man.
Yeah, that's
he just had such a flash in the pan. He was great in college at Pitt.
Dwan Blair had no ACLs. He didn't have one in either knee.
Well, he had cankles also.
Well, that's why
he has no pizza experience.
His thighs were so big because he had to compensate for literally not having an ACL in either knee.
Dwan Blair.
So he's a medical marvel.
Spurs legend.
Yeah.
Spurs legend. Chuck Hayes maybe a little bit too. Got that bottom head.
Chuck Hayes. I have his autograph, Chuck Hayes.
Yeah.
Kentucky legend. Is that disrespectful?
Yeah, that's interesting. That's a very subtle way of Nash is trying to say Zion's not that good.
He needs to lose weight. He does need to lose weight. The dude literally is a tank on the floor.
Charles Barkley mentioned here on the Chilton Autobody.
Speaking of Twitter, I just got a LeBron versus my MJ take sent right to me.
Really?
On Twitter. Just somebody just didn't include you guys. Just went right for me and said, MJ debate over. LeBron, Michael Jordan played better defense.
Well, they clearly listened to your handle that I plugged for you.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. Shout out to you. Thank you. Let me see who it is. JP.
Nice. Charles Barkley. I think that's the closest guy we can compare Zion to, right? And Charles Barkley never got that one.
Yeah, but that's two different things.
You're talking to a resident Phoenix Suns fan here, too.
If Zion is as good as Charles Barkley, then whether he wins a ring or not, he's going to be phenomenal.
And if he's as good as Charles Barkley, he'll go to a place where he can win it. And like that's what the NBA is now.
Well, that's what I'm curious about.
He'll force a trade. He'll go somewhere else, whether it's Atlanta, whether it's maybe Dallas down the road, right?
Does Zion have to go somewhere else? I mean, not go somewhere else. Does Zion have to be the second or third guy on a team to win? Does he need other people's help?
Of course, everybody does now.
In other words,
everybody does.
He can't be the lead dog. Like, listen, at the end of the day, like LeBron and Anthony Davis, sure, Anthony Davis is a great player, probably more in his prime. It's LeBron's team.
Isn't it just too early to make that?
It is.
He's played two. He's literally
played
two games. Although his coach pointed out
today,
he has never won a game in the NBA. You want to take that? Yeah.
Watch out, Whitey. You're barking up Nash's tree. He's about to hit you with something personal here. So
me and Coz relate a lot. We're both hitting Ruth's Chris tonight. So me and Coz are very similar. If I asked you today, like Zion the prospect, like I know for a fact Luka Doncic will be the best player on a championship caliber team. Can Zion Williamson be that? And I would have told you Luka could have done that before he got drafted in the NBA, too.
I would, without hesitation, I would have said yes. But now the fact that he's coming off of a meniscus tear when he's so young, and he obviously has, he's a bigger guy, that would be my only asterisk. But I think he's got a chance to be a truly all-time great player.
So Ja Morant or Zion, if like long-term, I know it's early, just ask me right now.
Ja's, I was not as high on him before the draft as I am now. Ja's phenomenal.
The
what
passing,
they're doing.
Those, these passing yeah. is yeah. just, whew, it's unbelievable.
By the way, I know we're up against it here. I got a Twitter handle recommendation from our very own James Pappas from Bonte Stein and Guru. At Tommy Call underscore D-A-T-H-I-R-D, the third.
That's a lot. That's a mouthful, James. I love you.
I'm not going to, so quit asking.
Thanks for being with us on the Saturday Spectacular. Coming up is Peyton Wright about his brother in the Hall of Fame, 95.7 The Game.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.